7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. We're going to have the candidate forum tonight at 5:30 to 7 live here on News Radio and other ways you can catch it streaming on Facebook, all that kind of stuff. PYP, and it's going to be the state representative districts 1 and district 2 candidates. So that should be a good time. Joining us now, we have Grover Robinson, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Happy to be here. And those are the best kind of times when I can sit back and listen to other people answer questions. That'll be good. I'll be looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah, this race, though, with Districts 1 and 2 has become, oh, my God. You know, I thought I had seen the most contentious races in Escambia County in the previous county commission.
I think this whole campaign season with COVID and everything else has made it incredibly interesting. But anyways, we'll see what happens.
Fully agreed. I want to bring up something that I think you and I disagree about, or at least I should say, I want to represent a viewpoint to you, and I want to get your response to it. We talked about this briefly in the press conference on Monday, because you have City Hall is currently not available to the public for city council meetings except via phone or by email. And you had said because you don't want government to be a source of the cases. I understand that. But when it comes to, you know, sort of core civic rights like the right to worship, we keep churches open, the right to protest and peaceably assemble, we allow the protests that have been going on, the right to petition your government for redress of grievances through the public forum, through standing face-to-face with your city council members, I think that's a pretty important right. It's not something that I'm going to use, but I know there are people who want to be able to come to city council and confront their elected officials. That seems a right on par with religion and protest. Explain to me why we still keep City Hall closed for these meetings.
Andrew, I agree with you very much on that point, but please explain to me how we've kept people from doing that. We've had people all over that have participated. We've had a number of people who fall in and participate in public forum, the Leroy Boyd public forum, that participate on other issues. Listen, we've gave people an opportunity, people from Georgia and a variety of other places that would have never had a chance to participate in a public conversation and dealing with the monument to speak. I mean, if we hadn't allowed the telephonic and the ability to do it virtually, those individuals would have never been able to participate in our part. So, you know, I think you've taken it from what was usually just a handful of hardcore people that wanted to show up at a meeting, and you've opened it up to more people. I mean, I think the better part is we've got to be open to the public and have them engaged and have them have the opportunity to participate in it. You know, how many things are going on right now that you're directly face to face on? Not very many. Most of them you're virtually looking at somebody on a screen. So I think the ability to still have that is what's important at this particular time, where we are with the virus. You know, we need to be spreading the virus as little as possible at our own stuff with government. We need to allow as much opportunity for businesses to be open. I think that's been the more important part of this. And again, we found ways to make government open and make it so that people can communicate with us.
Let me push back one more time, although I agree with you. The expanded access through the virtual is actually cool. In fact, I kind of hope that might be something that sticks around in the future, that people can call in instead of having to show up in person. And I agree with you that a lot of times the most vocal people are the sort of cadre who come all the time. But, you know, like Escambia Commission, they have open meetings where people can attend and talk in person. You know, Milton City Council, they're obviously doing, you know, a lot of other local government agencies are allowing that in-person presence. It seems like there ought to be a way to make that possible.
I mean, from my standpoint, I would say we got more people participating at the city of Pensacola than either of those two places. Now, do they participate in person? That's another thing. But we are having more people call in. More people are taking advantage of the opportunity to call in. And maybe that's good or bad, but I tend to think more opportunity for citizen access is better. Listen, we never did a Facebook Live until we got to this standpoint. Now we do one weekly. We answer people's questions. We allow them to answer directly, and we answer those questions. We do your press conference. We used to do that live, but, I mean, we've done it virtually, and I have not seen any decrease in what we've been able to communicate. So I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I just, at the same time, I don't, I mean, what I see when it's just live is you get the same people over and over again that show up, and they're just going to show up on the same issues they're going to show up on. I mean, they can still call in. They don't stop calling in, so the access for everybody is still there. I think being face-to-face is overrated on that standpoint. And, I mean, you're there, you're communicating, and people are listening.
Well, I will say this. You are available. You personally are. I miss seeing the shirts, for example, when a big group wants to come in, but I don't know that we could have done that anyway under the current circumstances. A totally different topic, though, and I appreciate your answers on that. That was a question that had come up recently. This redesign in De Villiers and Roos and A Street, to me, this is a huge story that we are completely revamping that whole area of town, the visual presentation. I've seen some of the schematics. It's pretty cool looking. Can you tell people what to expect? What will the new streetscapes look like?
I mean, the whole idea is creating new streetscapes that are more walkable, more bikeable, more interconnected. We think that De Villiers, because of the Belmont De Villiers area and its ability to bring people down from areas that are north of Garden to south of Garden and really all the way up, A Street's ability to take people north of Cervantes, south of Cervantes, all the way south of Garden into the core of what's going to be the new downtown on the West Main side. We see those as two corridors that we need to utilize better and create a better streetscape for walkers and for bikers. I said it very clearly. You know, people are talking about North Hill and what's happening on Cervantes. We're going to make it so that we want you to walk and bike using both Palafox and A Street, and find ways that we make those corridors that are very accessible for biking and walking. And we're going to make it more attractive for you to want to bike or walk, and safer for you to bike and walk. So those are all part of the things we've been talking about for the last 2 years. It takes so long to get some projects out of the ground, and then COVID has just made it more difficult.
No, absolutely. And I just think it's neat what's going to be happening on the west side, and, you know, some of that visual presentation that won't look so much like an old neighborhood that you might expect to be less well-developed and less kept up. And it's going to become more, something kind of modern with, you know, renovation and building and growth. And I like what I see. Like I said, in the pictures, I like what I see.
I think there's still a desire, there's an ability to put a new streetscape on it, but I don't think we're going to want to change the character of some of the things in the old that is there and the character
we don't want to change,
but we want to put a new spin on the public amenity side. So I think, I want to be cautious. Everybody says, well, we just want to make it all modern and pretty. We want to make the public portion of that, yes. But we're not looking to change the integral makeup of the neighborhood. I mean, that's what we want to keep as those areas. We have a great area, a commercial district in the Belmont De Villiers area. We have some great residential areas that tie into some commercial areas. And we want people to be able to access and use those. Those are the ways they connect. So I think it's all about thinking about connection and how you make things safer for bikes and pedestrians, and that's been a focus of what we've wanted to do from the very beginning. We brought on somebody to deal with those kind of things. So again, we got Mike Z there dealing with complete streets kind of things. So this is part of it, and we want to keep moving forward.
Now, I know the traffic study on MLK and Davis is, you know, that is an official thing. And I understand David Forte coming over from the county. Big acquisition, by the way. He's one of my favorites. One of the things about this street redesign going to two-way instead of one-way that people may not realize is that the current proposal is to put a roundabout in at the north end of that current one-way, right at right just south of the on-ramps to 110 where Davis and MLK all kind of interconnect. A roundabout, Mr. Mayor? Another roundabout for Pensacola?
Well, again, that was not my initiative, but I mean, I understand why they did that with the number of one-ways coming into it.
Yeah.
But, I do think at the end of the day, those are things that where roundabouts can make sense and the connection of what happens, they work well. I think you're going to see one coming up here very shortly at Langley and Hilltop, which is, I think, is going to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see one at the landing of the bridge. It's going to make things – I mean, no one's ever going to back up at the bridge anymore at Bayfront and 17th once that all gets fixed. So I think in the right locations they can work, and I think we're simply proving that it can actually work here in Pensacola. But the last thing I just want to say, Andrew, is how much I appreciate it is so difficult, and especially in some of these times that happen, people have forgotten that good debate and discord and differences of opinion actually help make us a stronger community. And I've always appreciated you have been very willing to work and talk, and even if people don't agree with you, you're very willing to still work and talk, and I've tried to be the same way. So again, at this point, we'd love to get back to things being open, but at this point, we've been asked by the governor to do this and continue to keep our meetings closed. So we're gonna honor what's being asked for us by the governor, and we're gonna keep moving forward. But I very much appreciate even when we disagree. I think the world of you, and I think you handle it with the kind of respect that we really need more in our local politics.
Well, that's very kind of you. I'd say the same thing back. And yes, disagreement is how you get some of the best ideas out in the end, as long as you're disagreeing honestly with each other and trying to understand and not just trying to fight, which, again, I give you credit for that. Mayor Grover Robinson, always a pleasure, sir. I look forward to your online today and then the press conference on Monday. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. You take care.